You're in the wrong decade, man.
Yeah, well, you know, there are times because, what, it's New Orleans Square over in Disneyland.
Right.
And so from time to time, I do find myself flipping those two. But, yes, it is Liberty Square.
Liberty.
Which is very obvious. And you know what? Here, I just have to throw this out right as we start talking about Liberty Square. If you get the opportunity to buy the, I think it's the Imagineer's Field Guide. It's a little, really thin, tallish book. So it's kind of made to fit in your pocket. It is so cool, the things that you can learn about what Disney really does in the parks. And I don't know, for whatever reason, that specific area really stood out to me because, for example, they pointed out that back in, you know, colonial times, people often would throw their waste out into the streets. Mm-hmm. And so the middle of the streets would be a darker color than the outside of the streets. And as you're walking through Liberty Square, you'll notice that the color of the colors that they've chosen for the sidewalk or the walkway area, it's actually, there's a stream color that kind of runs down the middle because it makes it more authentic.
Huh.
And also that, one other little fact that I remember from that is, they used leather to attach the shutters onto buildings, which after time, leather will begin to stretch, and the shutters will pull more on the top than, of course, they will on the bottom. So the shutters were often kind of wonky, where the top was a bit more pulled away from the window than the bottom. And that's another thing that they've done. They've actually made it look, you know, you're using metal, but they've put it further away at the top, so it has that kind of offset look that is accurate for the time.
Huh.
So
that's cool.
Anyway, that's my, as we start talking about Liberty Square, that's my little plug for those little books. And I know that they started out with the one for Magic Kingdom. I think they've got one out there for Epcot, probably for all the other parks as well by this point, because I know that was quite a few years ago that I picked up that book. But it's really cool the amount of inside stuff that really goes on in the parks, and especially, you know, just all the little details that kind of pass you by if you don't know that you're looking for them. They make sense, but you just don't realize that they're making sense at the time.
Yeah. Huh. So that's cool, man. So Liberty Square is, of course, home to the world famous Haunted Mansion.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the world famous Hall of Presidents.
Oh, well, that's pretty, that's kind of United States famous.
The world famous place to take a nap.
Oh no.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to go out and say it because it feels like when I'm in the Hall of Presidents and I'm in history class, I probably did pay attention the first time I went in the Hall of Presidents, but I've been in there probably three times since then, and it's, you know, it's the Hall of Presidents. It's really cool to see a bunch of audio animatronics that were designed to look like our founding fathers and so on and so forth, all the way to our current president. But at the same
time, really well done too.
Oh, like, yes. Yes, they're extremely well done. But, you know, it's a history lesson, and that room is really dark and the seats are comfortable, and it's always nice and cool in the summer. So don't blame me if I get a little drowsy.
Okay. You get a pass on that one.
Okay. So, yeah. So there's the Hall of Presidents. And then they also have the Liberty Square Riverboat, which is never open.
Why is it never open,
Brad? I don't know. But it used to be open all the time. And the last few times we've been there, I mean, the boat will be running, but they're just not putting guests on it anymore, except for whenever it's just crazy busy and they open everything to try to give guests more options and cut down on line waits. That's pretty much the only time you see it open now, which is sad because it's fun to jump on the riverboat and just, you know, ride around the rivers of America.
Do you think it's a cost thing? I would imagine that boat's pretty expensive to run.
Yeah, but again, I see the boat running at times when they don't have any guests on it. And I would think that at that point you're already incurring a lot of the costs, but I don't know. I'm not the Disney bean counters or, you know, those who are actually in charge of making these decisions. And I don't doubt that they have what they believe to be a valid reason. But and the only reason that this really stands out to me is because it's one of the attractions that my mom really likes. She really likes the riverboat, and it's frustrating to her when we go over there and she's like, nope, it's closed again. They're not there. So, but if you happen to go at the right time, you may just get to ride on the riverboat. So,
we saw the riverboat. I didn't notice whether or not it was open.
Yeah. Whether or not it was running or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the riverboat is there. And
okay, Haunted Mansion.
I wanted to burn through the other two attractions because it's not the only attraction in Liberty Square, but it is the attraction that I like the most in Liberty Square, and definitely one of my favorite. I probably could maybe fit for the best attraction at Magic Kingdom. Definitely one of my favorite attractions at Magic Kingdom is the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah,
even when it doesn't have the holiday theming to it.
Oh, barf. Haunted Mansion Holiday. No.
That's right. The Nightmare Before Christmas Holiday is pretty darn cool. But so
I'm just
is
so glad they don't do that at Walt Disney World.
So is the classic Haunted Mansion. So, I really like the Haunted Mansion. And the Haunted Mansion is just so interesting because it fits into this time where it really rides that weird line between scary and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's almost, and I think the story is, I was going to say, it's almost like they didn't know what to do with it, but I think the story is that that's exactly what happened, is they had it half done. And then the guy who was the Imagineer who was working on it, like, quit or something. And then the next guy came and he wanted it to be funny. And so it's like half scary, half funny, because they had two different people with two different, visions for it working on it.
Right. So it's just this very interesting thing, and what's funny is my wife is not a fan of anything horror related, which I'm really not either, but she's definitively nothing horror related. And so she had absolutely no desire to go on Haunted Mansion. And again, if we'll transport to Disneyland, while we were there, I wanted to go to Haunted Mansion, and the wait was extremely long, and she decided, okay, I will go on it with you so that we can just wait in line together. And we got on it, and it was funny because she was like, this isn't nearly as frightening as what I thought it was going to be. And again, that was the Haunted Mansion Holiday Edition, but even the regular Haunted Mansion, just I could definitely see small children being very frightened of it, just depending on what they're sensitive to.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the scary or the funny is much more than the scary to me.
Right. And there's no jump scares. Nothing pops out at you. Nobody jumps out and grabs you.
Yeah, nobody jumps out and grabs you. There are jump scares in the graveyard, though.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah, the little pop-out guys and stuff like that. I'm throwing that out there because I don't want any, nasty tweets from somebody who goes, I had to be resuscitated because I was told there were no pop-out scares by Jeremy, and I got scared. But yes, but again, they're very small, very minor things.
The scariest part's the stretching room.
You think so?
I think so, because of the bang at the end.
Yes. There is a little accent to the stretching room, but
yeah.
I enjoy the stretching room because, I really like the paintings in the stretching room.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really like that the Disneyland stretching room is literally an elevator.
I was about to say, that really puts you underneath the, yeah. But you know what? Having done both of them, you really can't tell the difference.
The only reason I even realized is because when we were walking out, I happened to look down and I saw the little Otis Elevator Company emblem on the floor.
Yeah, and so the first stretching room was actually designed out of necessity. The second stretching room designed, I assume, because the first stretching room worked so well.
Right. Yeah. Because, at Walt Disney World, the ceiling just stretches up.
Yeah. And again, going back to that, just some of the weird lack of direction for Haunted Mansion is you're on the People Mover. You're going through the attraction, People Mover, Wedway, whatever that the thing is that you're on. I just honestly can't remember the name right now. There are various times when you're going to see this crow with red eyes, and it will even be pointing. You'll be pointed at this crow at various times, and apparently that's because at one point the crow was supposed to be the narrator or something. But now there's just some random crow that shows up in multiple scenes. So yeah, it's a bit of an odd duck attraction for those reasons, but yeah, I think it's just super fun, and again, you know, just classic Disney dark attraction stuff.
And it's interesting too. We were talking about how the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland's in New Orleans Square, and it is on the outside, like an old New Orleans.
Very much like plantation. an antebellum mansion or something like that.
Right, yeah, yeah, it's like a plantation home. And then in Liberty Square, it's themed as a you know, like a colonial almost. It's got the pillars, and it's very colonial. And so even that they've kept the attraction, you know, more or less exactly the same, but they theme the outside of the building to fit the area it's in.
Right, and in Disneyland Paris, it's in Frontierland, and it looks like the Psycho House.
Right.
Which, you know, is very much a frontier-y. They make it fit, though. Phantom Manor in Paris is crazy. I mean, they took the scary funny, and they went, no, we're going scary with this. And
it's
a good attraction still, even though I'm not – when I say still, I mean even though I'm not really a fan of horror, it's a really good attraction and everything, but – yeah, so while Disneyland and Walt Disney World are very similar, Paris is just a totally different take on that attraction.
Now, what about Tokyo?
I think Tokyo was the same as Disney or as Paris. Tokyo was the same as California and Florida, I believe.
Okay.
Again, just because it doesn't. Oh yes, it definitely was, because that was the first time I got to see the holiday version of Haunted Mansion.
Oh, really? They did that in Tokyo?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I don't even know if it was going on in the U.S. when they did it in Tokyo, now that I think about it. But, yeah, because I remember I actually have a CD of the soundtrack from the Tokyo Haunted Mansion holiday somewhere in my home. But, yeah, so Haunted Mansion, like I said, just such a cool attraction. And, again, another one of those places where the word attraction really comes out from, you know, when you walk up if you get good cast members, and more often than not, you will.
Yeah.
Just their very somber demeanor.
Yeah, their Tower of Terror quality, I think, cast members that usually work the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, and you're walking up to the mansion, and, you know, you've got the horseless carriage with the coffin in the back, and you walk past the graveyard with all the really cool little gravestones that you can read. Like you said, going into the stretching room, which is awesome, I think. And then even the exit, you know, you've got the little pet cemetery there off to the side, and you've got the little mausoleum with all the just really fun things to read through. So there's so many little intricate pieces to that. And what's really fun is I don't know. It's probably not fun for my mom. The last few times we've been, my mom has had a lot of issues with her ankles, and so she's unable to walk for very long at all. So anytime we go to Disney, she actually has to get a scooter. And so I get to see some of these attractions from a different perspective because, of course, the scooter cannot go through the entire queue for Haunted Mansion, the standard queue. So they actually walk you in through the exit a little bit, but what's kind of interesting is the area that they walk the wheelchair and scooter and everything else accessible people through, it's like the servant's quarters. So even though it's kind of backstage-ish in that most people aren't going to see it, they actually took the time to theme this area where they've got doors and they've got little bells that, you know, you would expect the people to, you know, like back in the day when they had like the little string they would pull and it would ring the bell that was hanging off of a spring. They've actually got those in there. So yeah, even that little backstage-ish area is themed as well. So
cool.
So that's what I like about Haunted Mansion, is it's just there's so much detail involved. It's a fun attraction to ride.
Wow, that's crazy. Because, like, no, how many, what percentage of guests are going to see that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to be such a small percentage. And I will say that that is not the case with every attraction at Disney. So, for example, you know, we were talking about Big Thunder earlier. Big Thunder, the entrance is literally you walk up the exit ramp. And they've kind of got a little corral over on the exit side that they have you kind of wait in until they get to the train that they're going to put you on. And then you just walk over there. So there's no additional theming, no different theming for wheelchairs and stuff. Huh. But yeah, so in the Haunted Mansion, though, that is the case. It is a really cool little thing that they do. So,
One thing I just want to hit on. You said in Paris it's called Phantom Manor?
Yes.
And then in Shanghai, or Hong Kong, I think Hong Kong, it's called Mystic Manor.
Yeah. I don't know if Hong Kong took Paris's version of it or not, now that you say that. But like I said, I'm 97% sure.
Well, I know Mystic Manor. I don't think they did, because Mystic Manor, the guy who owns it is like Henry Mystic or something is his name.
Oh, so some of that ridiculousness of Disney, yeah, where like they just really
let's
go
just
out there,
make this dude's name be the ride, the attraction. I like that there's, you know, Haunted Mansion and then there's two manors, and
right.
I find that interesting.
Oh, I agree. Like I said, so. And you know what? I'm looking at the Mystic Manor, and it definitely looks different than our Haunted Mansions do.
Yeah, it's the Mystic Manor is about this guy has a box that when you open it, it makes inanimate objects come to life, and his little monkey pal, monkey butler guy, opens the box, and the whole place comes to life.
Okay.
And then the monkey, you're basically chasing the monkey through the mansion while he's like trying not to get hurt, you know, trying to get away from all the you know, he's got suits of armor and stuff, and the monkey's trying to get away from that, and you're kind of following him through the whole thing. So
yeah. So that, I mean, like I said, that sounds like it'd be really cool, and it's definitely, again, just a totally different design. It's kind of cool how Disney doesn't just sit on their laurels, and I'm sorry, but they do with some attractions, but that they've chosen Haunted Mansion to not just, we're going to crank out the exact same thing in every single one of our parks, but that they do actually take the time to put some differentiation in there. It's really a nice touch, I think. So, So Haunted Mansion.
And then I have not eaten in Liberty Square at any of the places.
Okay, so I've done Columbia Harbor House, and I like doing Columbia Harbor House. It's, again, Pecos and Cosmic Rays make it really hard for me to go eat anywhere else when I'm in Magic Kingdom.
Right.
But I will say that Columbia Harbor House, it's got a lot of it's very much fish, chowder, all that sort of stuff.
So New England kind of stuff?
Yes, definitely New England kind of stuff. And they've got really, really good, I don't think it was catfish, but like battered, like fried fish platter that's really, really good, really filling, but also really heavy if it's at all warm outside. I will throw that out there. But yeah, it's extremely tasty. And then Liberty Tree Tavern, we did as well. I think we did that for dinner one time, and that was, I want to say it was like a, it wasn't a buffet experience, but I think they can, it was more like a, what do they call that? Like a family dining experience where they brought you,
you sit at a table and you have a bunch of big plates of food and you share, everybody shares everything.
Right. And they continue bringing you more as you go along. So
kind of like Ohana and the Poly.
Yes, kind of like Ohana and the Poly. So that was pretty tasty as well. I don't think we were going to go back because I think we ended up with a really bad waiter there. Mm. But you know what?
Bummer.
If it's a really bad waiter at Disney, they're probably not going to be long for their job.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you to not go try that place, because probably whatever waiter we had is no longer there.
Yeah.
But now those are the two places that I've been to. Where I have not been is Diamond Horseshoe, which apparently is what, just like a, it's like a counter service restaurant there.
Yeah, I think so.
And then the Sleepy Hollow area, which, you know, again, is kind of like one of those, it's like one of those little quick service counter places. I may have been by there to get a drink or something.
You know what? I have eaten there. I got a funnel cake there.
That's what I was about to say. They have funnel cakes there.
So I got one.
There is something to that. Was the funnel cake good?
It was great.
All right. It was a funnel cake. So
we made friends with the dude, Jason, who was working there. And he actually gave us another one gratis.
Yes. Missing the Mouse does not promise that you will get free funnel cakes if you are friends with cast members.
Jason may not give you a free funnel cake.
That's right. But Jason may give you a free funnel cake. So we're just saying,
nice.
maybe go spend some money.
Be nice to the people that handle your food.
Oh, please. Just be nice to everybody. You just don't know how many people somehow feel that it is their job to make a cast member's life heck. And you know what? I recognize that there are situations where you really – that you need to say something. And I encourage everyone to say something when you need to say something. But, you know, it just all comes back to treat the cast members how you would like to be treated. In the same situation, recognize that you're probably not talking to the person who gets to make the decision. You're probably talking to the person that then gets to go to the manager, and the manager probably doesn't even have control over a lot of what you're dealing with.
Right.
But yeah, you know what? Because I've been on the other side of that. I have been a cast member, and the guests who were mean to me, there were so many of them, they all run together. But the guests who were nice, those were the ones who would really stand out at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, those,
be nice.
Those are
be
what
kind.
Made the
be happy.
Yeah, those are the ones that made my job fun. Those are the ones that, you know, if I had a fast pass on me that I picked up, they might end up with that fast pass or, you know, whatever. And you know, and they weren't doing it for that reason. They were just nice people. So be nice to be nice to your cast members.
And everyone
nice
else in the world.
Yes. And I just saw the more you know star fly above your head. But yeah, so
and
that
I think that yeah that that about wraps up Liberty Square.
Oh, you
right?
know what? There is one other thing in Liberty Square. Again, the quick service stuff that's not covered. Again, this is almost like the boats where it is so hit or miss. But sometimes in Liberty Square, out there, it's basically across the way from Haunted Mansion and the boat, they've got a quick service area that's got like some fruit sitting out there and things like that. They will also have baked potatoes over there.
Baked potatoes?
Baked potatoes, which my mother loves baked potatoes. And so I'm aware that that place serves baked potatoes. So if you're hankering a baked potato, you can stop by and your luck will be that they probably won't be there, but they may just be there. So,
to get a baked potato on the go.
That's right, a baked potato on the go.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I think other than, you know, of course, little meet and greets with what I think they have, Tiana and Chip and Dale over in Liberty Square. That's pretty much Liberty Square.
And that'll wrap us up for this week. We'll next episode, we'll be talking about Fantasyland. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast, like us on Facebook, we're Missing the Mouse, and visit our website, missingthemouse.co, and have a magical day.